Hi, I'm Katie, and welcome to Hey It Gets Better. This is the podcast where I chat to people about the ups and downs of their lives and how they got to where they are now. Life can be pretty tough sometimes, there's no escaping that fact. But at Hey It Gets Better, we're all about talking about the journey. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and remember, hey, it gets better.
Hi, welcome to Hey It Gets Better, and today's episode is a little bit different. So I'm going to hand over to last week's guest, Alice Rath, who will actually be interviewing me for today's episode.
Thank you so much for having me again. really excited, I think. Can't believe you've waited so long to do this interview. So before we get started, Katie, do you want to just explain, like, why you're introducing yourself now?
Because I haven't done it before. When I started Hey It Gets Better, I was very lost in my life. I didn't know what I was doing. It just was an idea I had. And over the past year, almost a year, it's not exactly a year yet, but we've done 25 episodes and I've learned so much about who I am as a person and so much life lessons I've learned along the way, and I've gone through so much in the last year like everyone else has. And I think I love hearing all your messages and building a community, and I'd really like you guys to get to know me a bit more so I can get to know you a bit more and just keep sharing the message that it gets better.
That sounds amazing, incredible, and I'm ready to get started.
Okay, I don't know why I'm so nervous. It's my podcast.
Oh, I know. I feel nervous to be like doing the questions. I don't want to try and do it justice. So, okay. What challenges have you faced to get to where you are now, Katie?
Okay. I don't want to be like, that's a really hard question, because every single guest I ask always goes, oh, that's really bored. But it is. There's been lots of challenges crammed into my 22 years of life, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come. But one of the main challenges I experienced was definitely in my first year of university, when I was diagnosed with anxiety, specifically OCD and depression in my first year. And that was a really big changing point for me, because I'd always kind of had anxiety and I didn't know I had it until I got that diagnosis. And what was supposed to be one of the best years of my life, I'm doing quotation marks, ended up being one of the hardest, most difficult years of my life. I'm really glad it happened right now, like when I look back at it, because I've learned so much about myself and I've been able to deal with so much because of them going to therapy and everything. But that was a really hard time, especially during university. You often see people like posting on Snapchat, like from your sixth form, and no, not even Snapchat, he's Instagram. But you see everyone's highlight reel, and when your highlights reel isn't good, and I wouldn't say my first year of university wasn't good, I was just depressed, so I didn't feel any of it. I think that was a really pivotal year for me, because I really got to learn what mental health was and what having depression and having anxiety actually meant.
Okay, so that's a huge challenge.
Yeah, I really didn't make that easy for you to like break down, but kind of before going to university, I never really understood mental health. Mm. I was very much like, I just kind of got on with life.
Yeah.
And it took kind of going to university and having that year where I just didn't feel anything. And I should have been having a great year, like on paper. Like I had a great university I was at. I had a boyfriend. I had lovely friends. I had like amazing things happening. I was doing great at uni, like in terms of grades. And I was so unhappy. And I could not put my finger on why I was so unhappy, because it was supposed to be the best time of my life. And it took that year and getting diagnosed with OCD and going to therapy to actually learn about myself and who I am. and how I think about things and how life is just really hard.
Life is so hard, and I think it's really interesting that you touched on that it was supposed to be the best year of your life. Like, I guess maybe that's something to think about, where we big things up or we expect things to go a certain way, but everyone's different, and you know, there's a different path for everyone. So yeah, if that like wasn't your year, that's absolutely fine. How did you cope with the rest of uni? Were you able to kind of get the right support that you needed? Did you struggle sort of after your first year?
Yeah, so my first year was the major kind of diagnosis. I think the first term I kept it all in, and it was awful. The first person I told was my boyfriend, who just like was so supportive, and then also like telling friends and being open about it. Because once I got through that, through the kind of first hurdle, I was really glad I got a diagnosis, because I just thought there was something wrong with me, and there wasn't anything wrong with me. I just have OCD, and I was getting intrusive thoughts, really bad intrusive thoughts, and I was so confused all the time, and I just didn't understand what was going on. So I, you know, got help from my GP. I got put on antidepressants. I had my friends who I told who supported me, and a lot, and CBT. This wasn't through the university, by the way, because university mental health waiting lists can be ridiculously long. I did it with a kind of outside practice in Nottingham. It was like it was by a shopping center as well, like a shopping industrial bit as well. So I used to go after my therapy and have some retail therapy.
Amazing.
Which was and that was kind of how I got through it. And then in the second year, I kind of opened up to my tutors, and I was like, look, and I actually got things like extensions on deadlines, leniency a bit, because I would be late to seminars and things because I had to always go back and check my door was locked, even if it was locked. And I was late for things, and it was literally just, if I was stressed, that intrusive thought would come in my head all the time and like repeat itself over and over again. So being open and getting the like right support at uni was really helpful. And I think as well, like just being open about it and having conversations, when you keep these things bottled up, it's really, really hard to deal with it on your own. But having told people and stuff, it's amazing. And it was always scary telling friends that I'd met Aid at uni. I was always really scared to tell them that I had OCD and I had depression. And so some of them, like, I didn't tell straight away. Well, actually, didn't tell any of them straight away. But then I started to tell them as I stopped kind of going drinking a lot. And everyone's reaction was just like, are you okay? And like, how can I help? And I think I'd become really preoccupied with like, how are people going to react? You know, that I forgot that at the end of the day, these are my friends for a reason. They're lovely, amazing people, and I love them to bits. And that their reactions just proved that, like, they're amazing people, and that's why I'm friends with them.
That's so true. Like, I think it's really a good reminder that obviously if they don't react in a supportive way, some of that may be down to lack of education, so, but even if they don't say the right things, they need to be sort of open and always have your best interests at heart. So I mean, that's obviously amazing, and it's so great that you've kind of been able to have that supportive network around you. So obviously uni was really tough for you, but look at where you are now. You are really smashing it. So if we can kind of just talk through like how you went from uni to where you are now, and have you faced any challenges since you've left uni?
Yeah, of course. So I graduated in the pandemic. I'm a 2020 graduate, still waiting for my cap and gown photo.
Oh, no.
I'm going to get it in 2022, I think. And so this kind of comes up to like when Hey It Gets Better started. And I had thought of the idea in my final year of uni. And as anyone who's kind of in their final year knows, it's quite stressful. So I I'd done the background work for Hey Gets Better. I'd spoke to a few guests and never made contacts and things like that. And then I graduated uni and I released Hey Gets Better. I got a job at a PR agency and I thought, you know, this is it. I've made it on top of the world. I ended up losing that job. And it was a great job. It was a lovely team. And unfortunately, I lost that job. And I went from feeling like I'd done it, I was like, yes, you know, I've got this, to, oh, great. What do I do now? And especially because...
So young.
Yeah. I did feel a bit cheated. I was like, I've worked really hard. You know, I work hard. I mean, there was a global pandemic. It was all out of my control. Mm. But I just felt like, oh, what was the point of it? If I'd worked so hard, but there's so much I can't control. And... yeah, that was a tough time, but
God, sounds awful. But obviously now you're able to look back, and it's obviously happened for a reason. But that happening at the start of your career is like horrific. I think that can really see you're incredibly resilient, but I think that would be a challenge for anyone in their confidence and their ability in their work ethic. Because like you said, you know, you work so hard, it's not fair. So yeah, like.
Thanks. I mean, they were such a lovely company and I met loads of amazing people there, but and it just didn't work out. But the thing is, I think I'd lost the job and the next week I was already telling people I was freelancing because I went into panic mode. I looked at my bank account and I was like, I need to earn some money. And that was kind of how I fell into freelancing, was I just took the gamble. I'd done Hey It Gets Better and some of my amazing past guests have gone on now to become some wonderful clients of mine. And making the decision to go freelance was scary. I don't know, I just did it and I just haven't looked back, and it was really scary at that time because I was completely making it up as I was going along. I had people asking me like, oh, what are you doing? And in all honesty, I did not want to fill out another job application. Right. I couldn't deal with that mentally. I just thought, I'm just going to freelance. And the way it happened is like work just kept coming and connections that I'd built kept kind of helping me out, that I got to where I am now, which is really good. Like I'm fully booked. I mean, I'm working a lot, but I'm also like, you know, gaining so much experience and developing myself a lot. Like I've got like 5 bosses basically and 5 mentors through my clients that are teaching me everything every single day. And it just kind of like one of the challenges, this is like another challenge, is going against the traditional career path or just making a decision that people around you might not necessarily understand. Like that's always a really tough one.
I mean, really tough. I think most people don't really plan to go freelance. And it's obviously, I know we talked about before around how it's not really a talked about in sort of education systems. So I think it's great that you kind of sort of took that leap. I think maybe it was a half push, but
yeah,
you've really been able to grow and you've worked so hard during the pandemic. So like everything that's been thrown your way, you've just basically taken it and completely pivoted the narrative. You're doing amazing.
Thank you. I think as well, it's worth to say, you know, like I have made many mistakes along the way.
You're human. This is why, you know, there'll be hopefully in years to come, there will be AI that can do a lot of this for us, but people will still want to work with humans and they'll prioritize that for our humanity, which means as a result, there's going to be mistakes. So yeah, I would just say learn from them.
You should do a series, Alice on AI. Work sounds so good.
Oh. Yes, I can't wait for it.
Alice on AI.
Can't wait for AI.
It'd be amazing.
anyway, okay, so I know we've kind of touched on this a little bit when you talked about your support network, but how did you overcome your challenges at uni and, you know, your jump to freelance? You got any tips for the listeners and what you would advise?
Okay. Well, I've used every mental health app under the sun by now. I'm a very much a pro, like, I see a problem and then I just try and fix it. And I will literally, like, research it and then be like, okay, this is what the solution is. And one of the things I've kind of learned is that you have to feel your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of came a lot when I was first diagnosed, because the driven perfectionist that I am, I was determined to be cured. And I was like, it's fine. I'm going to go therapy. I'm going to take my antidepressants and I'm just going to become completely fine. And that never happened. I had to learn to manage it. And I had to learn to be mindful, to take care of myself, and to feel the feelings that I was just trying to deny myself. Because sometimes things will make me sad, and I used to just bottle it up and actually just put my head in a book and work. And I think for me is realizing that it's okay to feel rubbish sometimes. Like, it's okay if you don't want to get out of bed that day. What is important is that you, first of all, know what will help you feel better. So if it's messaging someone, like, I literally have friends I message saying, I'm having a really bad day. They don't expect anything. They don't expect any entertainment, but they will help me then. Or I have things like, I'm like, okay, I need to write today off. You know, today's been a bad day. It's fine. Tomorrow's a new day. And that is something that really helped me. And then also kind of just learning about how mental health works and how things like CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, works. And that's all about reshaping your thoughts. There are quite a few good apps that I'll put in the bio about that have been really helpful. Like, I used, I think it's called Sam Velo for the first year of my university, which is like a CBT app. And another thing that really helps overcome challenges, I'm trying to like go through my head, like, what wisdom can I impart? So much pressure. Gosh, I don't know how other people do this.
It's good to sit in the sit in the other chair now, isn't it?
No. But that's another thing is, this is okay, this is actually how I've overcome every challenge, I think. This is a big grand statement. Just be a decent human being.
Yes.
And
love this.
That is my key to everything. Because if you are a decent human being, you surround yourself with decent human beings, you do things that decent human beings do, I think things do fall into place.
I was going to say, literally, when people always, like, you know, like, life motto, mine is always be, work hard and be nice to people. And it's so basic, but it's yeah, I think everything should just center around that. And I completely agree. So people want to work with you because you're so nice and you're caring and you understand. And that's a really good tip. And I think it's also helpful, yeah, as well, because there's times when we know we are a good person and we feel victimized by things that are happening in our life. So I think it's just kind of helpful to remind ourselves during those lows that we are good people and something good will happen, because good things happen to good people.
Yeah, and everyone makes mistakes as well. Like, this isn't also me being like I'm a saint. Like, I'm trying to think of something I've done horrible. I can't think of anything on the top of my head. Which is good. But like, what I mean is, you know, you're gonna have like things, like, you know, you will have like arguments and stuff with people, that's natural. But as long as your core is good and you've got that good heart in you, I think that that's good. Like, you know, whatever comes, retain that. And it helps as well, like, with friendships, you know, if you know you are good, like a good friend, then, you know, that's really important, and that your friends will support you and hold you up too. And that's something you just don't get taught, like, so much in life, you know, is, you know, just being a decent human that people want to be around.
Yeah, totally makes sense. So obviously being a decent human being is really important when you are working directly with people every single day, especially as a freelancer. Now, I know you've only been freelancing for a relatively short while, but probably in the most chaotic year we've ever had. I wanted to know if you have any advice for new freelancers or even podcasters as well, as you are professional and amazing at both. Any little top tips or what you found sort of in the past year?
I would say it's not all a highlights reel, and that you need to be prepared for the bad days as well as the good days. And this life is going to ebb and life is going to flow. And you are going to wake up some days and you are going to just have a mediocre day. And I think that having the drive and the passion to keep going, you've got to have that. But some days they might just be a bit lax. And that's okay. My advice is to always think of the bigger picture and the bigger goal. Because when you take each day as it comes, and some you have a stream of you don't have any direction, you don't know where you're going, that's really tough. But if you know you're kind of going in the right general direction, then that is how you know what you're doing is good. So something I've done is a lot is just sit and thought, what do I want to be like in the future? If I was having a conversation with Katie Watson 10 years from now, he'll be 32. Wow.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. Freaks out. But what do I want her to be like? And then think about those characteristics and behaviors, and then think, okay, well, how do I get there? And there's some things as well that, you don't have to wait 10 years time to start doing. Start sowing seeds now. If you want to start a podcast, start messaging people about being on as a guest, or start just telling people about your idea and stuff. If you have the bigger goal in your mind, it's easier to continuously take smaller steps there. And something that I always have to go back to is also you've got time. I am very much one for wanting to get to the end of the race now. And sometimes I literally will sit and think, oh my God, Katie, you're failing at everything you do. I love how I just talk about, being a good person and everything, but I'm incredibly harsh on myself. And that's something I know I am very bad at. That's a challenge I'm working on right now. But kind of sitting with myself and being in my own thoughts and kind of working out how I get to be that person I want to be.
Mm.
And then just making those small changes in your day and in what you do to get there. I think we always want to get to the end. We want the success. We want whatever. We want the final picture.
Mm.
I'm terrible. I read the plot of movies sometimes on my phone because I can't wait to the end. If I could do that with my life, I probably would have done it by now. But you can't, and you've got to enjoy the journey. And that's one thing as well I'd say, enjoy the journey. Don't read the Wikipedia plot.
That's really helpful advice. I love your analogy of sowing the seeds. So you don't have to take the plunge, because I think when people say this, whether it's about going freelancing or starting a podcast, taking the plunge sounds so overwhelming. But if you think about it, if you break it down and think, okay, it's sowing seeds, and I've just got, 20 seeds to sow, message a guest, watch a YouTube video on how to set up a podcast, or, speak to an accountant. It seems a lot more, it just seems easier to tackle in comparison to taking the plunge. That sounds overwhelming.
And it's kind of not putting all your eggs in one basket as well. Mm. I've got 50 seeds planted in my garden. I'm not going to tell you what they all are, because some are probably not going to come to fruition. But it just gives me more choices. I think as we get older, we worry that our choices are being taken away from us.
Mm.
Because, it's you commit to a degree, you commit to a job. But really, they don't have to be. you know, who says you have to do this the rest of your life? Who says that, you know, you have to be in this field? Who says that you can't just start reading about something on the side, educating yourself? And like, this is the thing, plant some seeds, you know, pick up a book, start a podcast, post on Instagram, start like create an Instagram account, find what you enjoy in your passion and plant that seed. And who knows, that could become a great fruitful business, or it could just be something you really do that you really love as a hobby.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's people that go to university in their 60s. Like, why not? Like, you can do anything you set your mind to. I know that's so cringe, but I think that's so true. And I definitely think you should do a podcast episode on some like some potential seeds or ideas, because I think that's just so interesting. You must have like a backlog of all your ideas.
Yeah, but a lot of them as well don't happen. Like, and this is the thing, like, this is where it comes in that you've got loads of time. Because if I try to do everything right now, like I really want to write a book one day, and I really want to have like a group coaching program where I help people to kind of like find themselves. No, that sounds super spiritual, but to just like get confident and, you know, take on the world. And I think that, like, you know, it all comes with time. At the end of the day, there's time for it. And this is as well, like, one thing I do not like as well is this whole like, I know you sent me a voice note this morning saying you were getting up at 5 a.m. so sorry, but get up at 5 a.m.
it's not for everyone. It's not even for me. I just did it. I don't know why I wanted to. I like seeing the sunrise in the morning, but I don't, get me wrong, I've been tired all day. I don't feel better for getting up early, so I agree. Not getting up early isn't perfect for everyone. And I hate when people just say, like, if you get up at 5 a.m. and go for a run, it's going to change your life. It won't. But changing behaviors that you think are having an impact on your mental health is going to be beneficial. So
definitely. I think that's one thing I hate, though. I used to hate, like, get up at 5 a.m. work for 18 hours, drink a protein shake, like
hustle.
And exactly. And I just don't think that works. Like, that doesn't work for me. And like, and I don't think that it, like, I always hate the idea that you have to be successful, you've got to do that thing. And the thing is that there's so many variations of success as well. And that's been like another massive thing for me, is working out what success is to me. And it also changes. Like, I can feel like in 5 years time, what success I think now is success will definitely be different, because I'll be at a different point in my life. But like, it's okay if your ideal life or your ideal night in is completely different to someone else's. Like, that's totally fine. And I think as you kind of grow up and you get more confident in who you are, that becomes totally okay as well.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You do you, boo.
You're so wise, honestly. So I know you've had like incredible year, you've learned a lot, you've obviously had some achievements along the way. What would you say has been your biggest achievement to date, and maybe also your biggest achievement from the year?
That's a really hard one. This is where it comes in that I'm very self-critical of myself. Honestly, my biggest achievement was actually just, in a sense, not going into a depressive episode this year as bad as I like.
Yeah,
I think with my mental health and things like that, and like, this year could have really potentially threw a massive spanner in the works. And I've even like kind of gone down on my medication, and my biggest achievement really is the fact that despite a few like bumps and hiccups in the road, like down days, I really have looked after my mental health. And that for me is something that I just, is it an achievement, because it's something that I know that I'm always scared of sacrificing it. I'm always scared of that, going back to that time where I just didn't feel anything. And having to go through a global pandemic, to not actually be able to see any of my support system in person, to then like having really kind of bad stuff happen, to actually come out the other side and come out the other side with, you know, friends. I've met some amazing people, including yourself as a freelancer, and I met like some of my amazing colleagues and everything, to go through that, everything, and still have my mental health intact, that's definitely been the biggest achievement.
That's huge. That really is, especially when the whole country has really been suffering and you've just been able to like really look after yourself. That's amazing. You should be really proud.
Thanks.
You sounded Thanks. Really sarcastic.
No, I wasn't being like, I just,
I know you hate it.
It's so awkward to be I'm proud of myself. Like, yes. But it's, you know, I guess this is something I'm working on. In 10 years time, I might do another episode and like be like, my greatest challenge was overcoming my fear of being proud of myself. But it is. And I think, you know, I want to be open about that being my greatest achievement. And I want to be open about my mental health because I didn't know what it was when I went to uni. I didn't know what everything was when I got diagnosed, and I was terrified. Mm. I genuinely was petrified that, you know, this was like, I didn't know. I felt like I was broken. So if I can help at least one person know that they aren't, you know, that you're not broken, you're 100% okay, you are an amazing human being. If I can help someone realize that and get the support they need, then that would be the greatest achievement of my life.
That's amazing. This is where I get like a little bit bullying. Katie, I think you should say, I am proud of myself for your achievement. And I think if you voice it publicly, then you will have to feel proud of yourself.
I can't say without sounding sarcastic. I'm doing like the Sharpay Evans, like, you know, when she goes, lula, ma, ma. I am proud of myself and my achievements.
Good. You should be. I am proud of you too.
Thank you.
Amazing. I genuinely am so proud of you. It's really inspiring. So you've got some big achievements, but I think day to day, we've kind of talked about, I think the little things can really make a difference, whether it's on sort of your overall mood, your mental health, and your workload. How have you been able to like celebrate the little wins, and like have you got any things that you would suggest for the listeners to celebrate as well?
Tell people, like get friends that are your cheerleaders and tell, like, be like, what have you done this week, and like really like hype each other up, because that's the best. I love that feeling when everyone in the group's like, yeah, this is great, and it's just like, we are acing it, and that's amazing. Like, I love celebrating other people's wins with them as well. So I definitely say, like, with your friends and stuff, tell them good news and be like, oh my god, this has happened, and like ask them what's happened with them, and that's like a really good way to celebrate little wins. Mm-hmm. And I do have like I'm terrible for starting things like journals and stuff and not finishing it, but I do have one page where I do write like a win every month, and it can be anything from like going out to just sort of like you know, having a new like business success, and that's quite good, like to write it all down.
Yeah, it must feel quite like cathartic. And also, is if you do that every month, it's like making you actually sit down and think about it, which is a good point, because often, you know, day to day things fly by and we often don't really revel in our successes, no matter how big or small they may be, whether it's, you know, sending that risky email to a client or getting a huge job. Like, we just need to make sure that we're celebrating. And then if you sit down, definitely, and you write that down, then you're like, oh, this is actually what I did. That's a lot.
And like one thing I did, which I kind of do now, but I don't actually write it down. This is the thing also, you don't need to write everything down for the count, just like mentally do it. Is like when I was doing cognitive behavioral therapy my first year, one of the things I did would be like to kind of with the anxiety would be to like say, okay, I'm going to go out. And like, so for me, I was really like really bad about drinking alcohol and going places and stuff. So I would put in like how scared I am or something's going to happen. Like I rate it like 1 to 10. And then I would put, you know, what am I worried about? And I just write it down. Then I would go and do the thing, which, you know, it's like going out with friends. Like, it's like something I wasn't sort of like, you know, But I was really anxious about stuff. And then I'd come back and like, okay, how bad was it? It actually wasn't that bad. And that, I mean, it's exposure therapy in that sense. But like doing that kind of with things you're afraid of, like that's a little win each, that's a win each month. So do something that you kind of are scared of, and then, you know, doing that is actually a massive win, like, because it's kind of developing who you are as a person. And also, you know, you find your own boundaries and where you're comfortable as well.
I love that idea. I think we did something similar. When I did CBT, I had to write down everything that made me anxious during the day. And then before I went to bed, I looked over it, and it was like, I would say 99% of the stuff was really like minuscule. Like my friend Corin borrowed my ruler in history and didn't give it back to me. And then that gave me anxiety. And then I was like, oh, that's so small. So it's like really good at framing your your like perception of things.
I'm a massive believer in CBT. Mm. I think part of me is lazy, so I don't do it as much as I should do it, because of, like, I don't write it down, but I do sit and I think about it a lot. Mm. So like when I think, what am I worried about? I will literally sit and I think, okay, does this need to be actioned now? Like, what is the actual, what's the worst thing that can happen? And half the time it isn't that bad.
Totally agree. So if we're going to move on to our last question, which is my favorite one. For someone who doesn't feel like things are getting better, what would you say to them?
What I'd say is, you don't know the end of the story. And you might think you even know what ending you want right now, but it could be the ending's completely different. You should look at, you know, what you've got around you. What do you enjoy doing? What brings you happiness? Who are your supporters in your life? And keep all that stuff close to you. And like when you start to feel down, fall back on that. When you have a down day, you know, retreat to like, I like love reading. I literally read like a massive book last night just in one sitting because I needed it. Do that. Do what makes you feel good. And dream. Dream big and then take small steps to get there. And eventually you will get there. And there's so much... so many amazing things in this world that there you have the opportunity to discover. So, you know, you might not be in the situation you want to be in right now. You might not feel empowered to just, you know, do what you want to do and live the life you want to live. But I promise you, start taking those small steps to get there and hold close what you love and what makes you happy. And it does get better. I mean, I named a whole podcast series after it. It's got to get better, because otherwise, what have I been talking about for the past 25 episodes?
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you found it helpful. I really appreciate all the support I get for Hey It Gets Better. It would be amazing if you could subscribe to our channel wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want some more content, then you can always follow us on Instagram at Hey It Gets Better. And for more stories of inspiration and resources to help you get through life, visit our website, heyitgetsbetter.com. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, hey, it gets better.